We're up to Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. Vayihi. Yesterday, I asked him, what should he do? So I said, why don't you do a Perek Mem? Because it's something fresh, something popular. Nachamu Nachamu Ami. And it's coming up soon, so it'll be a nice preview for what we're going to learn soon. But we're going to continue where we left off, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Aleph. We are continuing the description, the narrative of what happened at the time of when Ashur, as he planned to attack and conquer Yerushalayim. And we learned in the previous parak where Rav Shake, the general of Ashur, approached Yerushalayim. He wanted an audience with Chizkiyahu. He was denied an audience with Chizkiyahu. Instead, he met with three representatives of Chizkiyahu, Yoach and Shevna, Hasofer and Yoach and Eliakim. They met with Rav Shaked. Rav Shaked told him that he asked them to surrender. And he promised them if they would surrender, they would be allowed to temporarily continue to live in Eretz Yisrael, but eventually they would be sent into exile to a good land, a land that was equivalent to Eretz Yisrael. And in the process of asking the representatives of Chizkiyahu to surrender, he was mechorif u'megadif. He was mevarech Hashem. He said things which were improper, nivul peh, and other improper things. And he was asked to speak in a language which the people would not understand in order not to demoralize the population, but he refused to do so. He spoke to them in Hebrew, a language they all understood. Rav Shaki himself was fluent in Hebrew because he himself was a Jew. He was a Yisrael Mumar. And now these three representatives of the king are returning to Chizkiyahu to report what they have heard. And they come to Chizkiyahu in tattered clothing. Their clothing, they have ripped their clothing as the halacha requires. When one hears a person, Bivaruch Hashem, he is required to rise Kriya. And that is what they have done. And they now appear before Chizkiyahu, and they report word for word what Rav Shaki said in the name of Sancheret. Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi, Kishmoya HaMelech Chizkiyahu, when he heard the report, Vayikra Es Begodav, he ripped his clothing. He followed the halacha. Vayitzkas, this is so interesting, is that here he himself did not hear. There is a question, I don't remember the exact details of the Gemara, but there is a question if a person did not actually hear another individual blasphemize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chas Baruch Hashem, but only heard of a report that it was done, is he required to rise Kriya? I remember a couple of years ago there was a story where a Sefer Torah fell in the shul. So the question was, do you fast? What's the halacha if a Sefer Torah falls? So of course, I mean, we fast. But today, people are weak. It's not so easy. So the Psak Halacha that was handed down from on high was that the people who actually saw the Sefer Torah fall, fast. And the other people who were present in the shul, who were milling around in the back, were not paying attention. This has happened when the Sefer Torah was taken out on a Thursday, I think it was. And it happened so quickly. The person took it out of the Aron Kodesh, and the Aron Kodesh wasn't it was a temporary Aron Kodesh. It didn't have a lip on the bottom, and it slipped out, and it was on the floor, and within a half a second, it was already retrieved from the floor. So most people in the shul did not even see what happened. So the halacha was only the people in the immediate vicinity of where the Sefer Torah fell and actually saw with their own eyes were required by halacha to fast. And everyone else in the shul, if they want, they could fast. It would not be such a bad idea. But they are now required to do more than give tzedakah, to give a few dollars tzedakah to be mechaper for what has happened. So you see such a concept that if you actually see something, you're on a different level than hearing about what has happened, or even being present where something has happened. And that is the same issue when it comes to one who is mevarech Hashem. Al pi halach, if I'm not mistaken, the only person himself, the listeners, the people who are present and hear another, be Mevarach Hashem, is required to rise Kriya. So the people, Yoach, Eliakim, Shevna, and the people who were surrounding the wall of the city that were listening to Rav Shake, they were Mechuyav Pi Halacha to rise Kriya. But Chizkiyahu was not necessarily required to do so according to the letter of the law, because he did not actually hear. He's only hearing a report of what has occurred. But yet, we see the righteousness of Chizkiyahu. He went lefnim mishur sadin, and he's a melech, and every move he makes, obviously, is observed and is discussed, and is used, as has influence over his followers. He immediately, without a hesitation, he writes kriya, and you can imagine the clothing of the king is not exactly very inexpensive. So it was obviously a very great thing on his part to act as in the noble and dignified way that he behaved. Not enough. He dressed in sackcloth. He came to the Beis Hashem. Today, you know, I used to learn about this all the time. You read in Chazal and Tanakh. Today they do the same in Eretz Yisrael. When there's a Yom Tzom, when Rachman Litzlan, I never saw this recently either on a clip or on a newspaper pictures that when there's an Eis Sar in Eretz Yisrael, they go to the Kosel, they fast, they put on sock, they put on sackcloth, they actually put on sackcloth. It became a new thing that is done by different groups of people, part of to impress upon us, upon themselves, the severity of the situation. Vayiskas basak, he dressed himself in sackcloth. Vayevo beis Hashem, and he came where? He came to the Beis Hamikdash. First thing he did, great merit. He came to the Beis Hashem. I remember when Netanyahu became prime minister the first time. So I remember very clearly the first thing, and all the prime ministers do this, but for some reason I remember by him more than others. The first thing they do. I don't know. I think Olmert also did this, if I'm not mistaken. The first thing they do is they go to the Kosel. When they get the report, the official report, that they have been elected as prime minister, Vayavai Beis Hashem. So interesting. It's interesting. Interesting thing. So here, Vayavai Beis Hashem. The first thing he did was he went to the Beis Hamikdash to be mispal. Vayishlach es Eliyakim Asher Labayis. He sent Eliyakim Asher Labayis, the Eishem Nasoifer, the Eizikne Akoyhanim, Miskasim Basakim, El Yeshayahu ben Amot Sanavi, and he sent messengers. He sent to retrieve the Navi. The Melech and the Navi have very different positions in the leadership role of Klal Yisrael, and he sent to meet with Yeshayahu. And Farshim are disturbed what happened to Yoach. Right, we had so far in the previous parak three messengers. Yoach, he was called the Mazkir, the recorder, and Shevna is the Sofer, he is the scribe. What is the difference between the scribe and the Mazkir? That they're different opinions. One is the Sofer, just means he's the writer. He's the one who puts into words the formal letters. He's not a recorder. He doesn't record the chronicles, the history of the nation. But Yoach was the masker. He recorded the events, and we have here Shevna Eliyakim al Asher Labayis. He was the chief of staff, as you so perfectly termed his position, described his position. He was the chief of staff. So here, what happened to Yoach? Why didn't Yoach also go and join his companions, Shevna HaSofer and Eliyakim, to retrieve Yeshayahu? So the simple answer is because he was not allowed to leave the side of Chizkiyahu. That was his job. Yoach was to record every move, he was like the press. Everything that happens, he has to be there to document the move, every single move of the king. So he was not allowed to leave his side, and that's why only Shevna and Eliyakim went to visit Yeshayahu. They said to Yeshayahu, some said Chizkiyahu. Now, I don't know the significance of this, but it says here three things. Yom Tzara, it is a day of trouble. V'sochecha, rebuke. Una'atza, that means bizayon. Bizyonos, hayom hazeh, today. Three things. Very interesting how he described the day. With three, a day of tzara, a day where Hashem is giving rebuke, and the day of disgrace for the Jewish people is Hayom Hazeh. Okay, obviously there is more significance, I do not know, but it's just important to take note of this triple description of this event. Kivo vonim al mashper v'choyach ayin l'leida. He compared this event to a woman who has been brought to the birth stool, a special type of stool that was used in ancient times when a woman would give birth. She'll be put in an ideal position, her knees were bent the body was supported in order to be able to bring the child forth. And it's as if the woman is ready to give birth, but the choyach ayin l'leida, she does not have enough strength to push that last push to bring the child to this world. Now, what is the significance? I do not know. I looked a little bit into this. Obviously, there's a very, very significant metaphor by comparing a woman to one who is giving birth, but they don't have enough. Simply, we can say, refers to it's a time of great pain. It's enormous suffering. A woman gives birth. The Chazal tell us there is no pain in this world like the pain a woman experiences when she gives birth. So at least when she's coming to the very end, that intense pangs of Leda, at least subconsciously, can be diluted with the knowledge that in a few moments it's over. The child will come out. But in this situation we are suffering these intense pangs of pain, realizing that we're doomed. Sancheriv is going to wipe us out. There's nothing left. He conquered the entire world. We're just a little teeny dot. And we have there is no subconscious thoughts that we will be able to remove this tsar. This will come to an end at any point soon. That is one approach. Another approach is look at the positive side, is that here Bnei Yisrael at this point in time were in a process of tshuva. Chizkiyahu, he influenced the people living in Yerushalayim to do tshuva. There was Torah, there was Musar, everyone was learning and things were going well. They were accomplishing spiritually. They were getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They just needed a little more time to develop a little bit more emunah, more faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they would be able, through their tefillah and through their emunah, to overcome this tzara. But unfortunately, Sancheriv just arrived on the scene a bit too early. So when it says here that Bohu Vonim al Mashper, they're on the birthing stool. It's like a woman that's about to give birth. It means we're about to be saved. The birth is not, we're not trying to reflect, to focus on the tsar of Leda, to discuss our suffering. We're focusing on salvation. We're just about ready to come to a point where our Koyach HaTzfilah and our Emunah will allow us to overcome this tsar. But we don't have that last bit of strength to make it, because Sancheriv just came a bit too soon. The tshuva process takes time. We know we go from Pesach to Shavuos, there are 49 days. When you come to day 50, you've achieved, ideally, a certain state of Tara after going through all the proper steps. So it's like Hashem is coming to give us the Torah on day 48, instead of day 50, day 49, too early. Hashem, you have arrived. We're just not ready. And if we're not ready, it's not going to work out for our best. We're not going to be receptive to receiving the Torah if we're not holding where we should be. So that is another approach to explain this idea of Bo Vonim al Mashur Kechem Leleda. Either it can be interpreted simply that it refers to the Tsar Chevle Leda, or can refer to the salvation that they were approaching, but unfortunately they were unable, they were unsuccessful because of they were not yet ready. So here we pasuk dal ulai. Here he is misspell perhaps. Yishma Hashem Elokecha. Perhaps Hashem will hear. Eitz Divrei Rav Shaki. He will hear. Perhaps the ulai means not just ulai means halav. The word ulai there's a word ulai and the word pen. What's the difference between the word pen and ulai? They both mean maybe. The word pen, if I'm not mistaken, I'm just recalling from memory, is where when you say maybe, you really hope not. Maybe it will happen. Halavai, it should not happen.
Pen Thomas.
You don't want it to happen. Maybe it will happen, but halavai, it should not happen. Ulai means maybe. It's a 50-50 chance. But a halavai, it should happen. The emphasis that we do want it to happen. So here he says, let's say pen yishma Hashem. Pen yishma Hashem means maybe Hashem will listen, but we don't want Hashem to listen. Chas v'shalom, just the opposite. Ulai yishma Hashem. Maybe Hashem will listen, but halavai Hashem will listen. We want Hashem to listen. To what do we want to listen to? Eis divrei Rav Shakeh. Hashem should listen to the words of Rav Shakeh. Words, his insult, his terrible words of blasphemy, Asher Shalachi Melech Ashur Adonav, who has been sent by his master, the king of Ashur, L'choreif, to blasphemize Elohim Chai, the living God, V'yochiach Badvarim, and, now, the V'yochiach Badvarim, May Hashem, this could mean V'yochiach Badvarim, which means, and he has given a rebuke. You can read this two ways. V'yochiach Badvarim means, we connect this backwards with the words ulai. Ulai yishma Hashem Elokecha. This that v'hichiach bedvarim. This that Rav Shaki has rebuked us, has given us rebuke with words. Or it could mean that we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should respond and Hashem should rebuke Rav Shaki with words. Now words over here, obviously Hashem is not going to speak, but it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about, should do something in this world which will be equivalent of delivering a strong message to Rav Shaki and Ashur to back off and to watch out. So let's look according to the first interpretation. Only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear how he has insulted the Jewish people with words. So Chiyach means to insult, it means to rebuke, and rebuke in a negative form. Asher Shem Hashem Elokecha. This that Hashem will hear the words of Rav Shakeh. The Nasasa Tfila, and then you, Yeshaya, when you hear this, Yeshaya, may you lift up a prayer, Be'ad Hasha'eris Hanimtsa, on behalf of the Jewish people that are the remnants of Jewish people that are here in Yerushalayim. So this pasuk, to review the pasuk, the Chizkiyahu is sending a message to Yeshaya that today is a horrible day, terrible things have happened. Halavai Hashem should hear these terrible words of Rav Shakeh and how he has given us Musar, he has given us Teichacha, and Yeshaya, please intercede, be mispal on behalf of the Jewish people. So they carried out the message. They went to Yeshaya immediately responded, so say to your master, to the king Chizkiyahu, do not be afraid, do not fear. Here he calls Rav Shakeh, he insults him, he says he's just a nar, he's just a child. So don't be afraid of these words of blasphemy that the youths of the king have spoken against me, referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hirni nosim by ruach, I will put in Rav Shakeh in Ashur a ruach. A ruach here means a will. He will decide in the spur of the moment that he's not going to attack. He's going to turn away and take care of state matters. What are those matters? Let's see further. What's the will? He'll have a desire to leave the vicinity of Yerushalayim. The Shama Shemua, he will hear a report that there is a nation that is rebelling against his authority, referring specifically to Cush. The nation of Cush is rebelling, and he will decide that it's an emergency. He has to put down the rebellion before he can continue conquering Yerushalayim. V'shem Hashmua, v'shav el Arzo, then he will come back, he will succeed in putting down the rebellion, he will return to conquer Yerushalayim, he will come back with 185,000 soldiers, and miraculously they will all die. V'paltiv b'cherev b'arzo, and I will cause, there's a lot being has to be read between the lines. Rashi fills a lot of the gaps. He will die. Well, not he will, not himself, Ashur, but its soldiers. All 185,000 soldiers will die. the survivors will be so few they can be counted on a person's hand, and he will flee, he will run back to his homeland, to Ashur. He'll be afraid to go home, and he will go and he'll worship, he'll find a board, we'll see soon the board, a remnant from the Teva, and he will use it, he will worship it as a god, and he will tell the board that if you will spare me from being killed by the people of my country in revenge for my failure of not conquering Yerushalayim and bringing death to all of the elite of my army, if you'll spare me, I will sacrifice my two children to you, my new god. You, the board, this piece of wood that is a remnant from the Noach's Teva. And when his two sons heard what their father was planning to do, they got up and they killed their own father. And that's what it means here, V'paltiv b'cher b'yartzo, I will cause him to die by sword in his own land. His own two children will get up and kill their own father. V'yashav Rav Shaki. And exactly what Yeshaya told Eliakim and Shevna to relay to Chizkiyahu is exactly what happened. V'yashav Rav Shaki, Rav Shaki returned. So he returned and he was in Lachish. Originally Melech Asher was staged, he was settled in the city called Lachish, which was near Yerushalayim. And in the meantime, when Avshakeh was traveling to deliver the message to Chizkiyahu, Asher received the message that Cush is rebelling. So he retreated from Lachish and he went backwards to a city called Livna. And now when Rav Shaki returned to Lachish, he found that he was not there. He asked, where is the king of Asher? Where did he go? He's not here. Last I came, he was here in Lachish. They told him he went to Livna. Vayimsas Melech Asher Nilcham, he was fighting Al Livna, near Livna. Kishama, because he heard, he knows Sami Lachish, that Asher, he left Lachish. Vayishma, what was the situation? Why did the king of Asher leave Lachish and go to Livna? That is because Vayishma al Tirhoka, that is the name of a person. He was the leader, he was the king of the country of Cush. Tirhoka, Melech Cush, Lemar saying, Yatsali Lachim Itach, that this king of Cush has rebelled and is coming to wage war against you, King Asher. Vayishma, he heard this report. Vayishlach Malachim el Chizkio Lemar, so while Asher retreated and went to fight this battle, he sent messengers to Chizkiyahu Lamar, saying, Koy Saimun el Chizkiyahu, so you shall say to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, Lamar, Al Yashiacha Elokecha, you must take this event as a divine sign. Here I am, I was just about ready, my finger was on the trigger, I was just about ready to conquer Yerushalayim, and suddenly I retreat, I disappear, I call it off. So you must take this as a sign that your God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is intervening, is sparing you, is saving you. Don't be foolish. It has nothing to do with your God. I have business to attend to that cannot be put on a back burner. I must attend to this business immediately. And don't take this as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is going to save you, because I guarantee I will return in a short time and finish you off. Al Yashiacha Elokecha, let your God not incite you, let him not persuade you, influence you with this turn of events, thinking Asher Ata Botechba, which you have faith in, Lamor saying, Lo sinosin Yerushalayim yad melech Asher, that Yerushalayim will not be delivered in the hands of Asher. It's nonsense. Look around. He basically repeats now the speech he gave before. Hinei ato shemato, have you not heard? You have heard. Asher osu malchei Asher l'chol haratzos la'acharimam. What I have accomplished in the region, I have destroyed the king of Asher, referring to himself, has done to all of the lands to utterly destroy them. V'ato tinatzel, are you foolish to think that you're going to be different, that you're going to be spared? Ha'haitzidu oisam elohei hagoyim asher hishchitsu avosai. Did the gods of all the nations save them from my destructive forces, from the destructive forces of my forefathers, of my predecessors, the kings of Ashur who came before me? Asher shchisu avosai. Who are they? Eskozon, v'Escharon, v'Retzef, uvnei Eden, asher Bitzla Sar. These are different cities which are in the region of Bitzla Sar. I do not know what that is. It's a region. It's some location. And these countries were mighty nations, and they were all conquered by Ashur. Ayei melech Hamos. Where is the king of Hamos? Umelech Arpad, Umelech Leir Sifar Voim, name of a city. Where are they? They're gone. They no longer exist because Ashur and my predecessors have conquered them, have wiped them out. And all of these powerful nations had gods. They were all pagan nations in ancient times. And all of these gods were helpless against my force. Hina v'iva. Hina means to exile, to send into exile. V'iva means to twist. The king of Asher has exiled these nations and has twisted them, meaning in this context, destroy them. And therefore, don't think for one moment that you're going to be any different. Pasuk Yudal, v'yikach Hizkiyos ha-svarim, when he received this message, what did he do? Miyad hamalachim, from the messengers of Ashur, vayikra ehu, he read them, vayal beis Hashem, he went to the beis hamidosh, vayifrisehu chizkiyahu lefnei Hashem. It's a very interesting idea what this means exactly. He opened them up. Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously doesn't need us to open up our letters to Hashem. Hashem, look what it says here. obviously this is all theatrics. I'm very big into theatrics. I'm very big into drama. This is all theatrics for the people. What?
It's not for Hashem's benefit, it's for Hizkiyahu.
Exactly. It's to influence the people. It's to show the people we have to do something. He took these svarim, he spread them out on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, or in front of the Beis HaMikdash. Ribbono shel Olam, look what it says here. Obviously everyone was watching, and this technique, this behavior, This ceremony had an impact upon the people living in Yerushalayim.
Why did they have to do it in a two-stage process? Because later we'll see Yeshayahu sends him a second message about Zechariah. But the first time he came, it's a delaying tactic, right? Don't worry, he's going up there. But then, why did Hashem tell him at that time, when he comes back, this is what's going to happen? Don't worry, they're all going to be destroyed. Why does it have to go through stage one, delay, and he gets a message from King Ashur? Stage two, Hizkiyahu gets the message, and then he prays, and now Yeshayahu says they're going to be destroyed.
I guess Hashem has a cheshbon for everything.
Hashem deals that way in effect?
It depends.
For us.
That we should be inspired. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants mis'ava l'tfilos and shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants us to pray. To a certain degree, Hashem, obviously, the people, if they suffered, they were deserving of their suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his cheshbonos. There was a need for them to feel the tsar, the pain of the fear of conquest, but their prayers were sincere, and it worked. So the enemy was destroyed. Everything comes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. I don't know more than that. Let's go further. Vayispalel Chizkiyahu El Hashem Lema Yechizkiyahu Zimspal B'Fu Hashem, saying Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, the word Hashem Tzvakos, we had this before. Every time we have this name Tzvakos, we refer to Hashem in his role as a general, as a warrior. Kadosh Baruch Hu has many roles. Sometimes he appears as a Zokim, Molid Achanim. Sometimes he appears as a Bochur, as a young, vigorous man. Sometimes he appears as a judge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different forms. He appears with many different midos depending on the situation. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears as a general, a warrior, going out to battle. And the term Tzavakos is the Shem Hashem that is used to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his role as a general leading an army in battle. So here, obviously, there's a great need for, there's going to be a war. Is going to be a very great tsar, so he is mispelled with the shame of Tzavakos, Hashem Tzavakos, Elokei Yisrael, Yoyeshev HaKruvim, who sits upon the Kruvim. I don't know what the significance of this is. It's very, very interesting. We have all throughout the entire Yeshayahu, Tanakh, so many names of Hashem Elokim, and Tzavakos, and I don't remember all the different names, but there are so many different names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but very rarely do you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of these names being described as one who is Yoyeshev HaKruvim, who rests the Shechin upon the Kruvim, the Beis HaMikdash. What is the significance? I don't know. Perhaps Kruvim, Chazal tells us, represents children. The Tzura the Kruvim was a Yanuka, of a child. Also represents chibo, love. One kruv was a zachar, one was a nekeva. They represent chibo, love. So here, perhaps, saying the Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to invoke the rachamim that Kadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, that we are his children. There is a love between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu, but yet, in the words before, he is described as a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you are general. You know, they don't see children in the army. I mean, they're not supposed to be in the army. That's a war crime to force children into the army. But here, Hashem Tzivakos, you're the general. You are the Elokei Yisrael. It also has a certain connotation. And then we're describing him, which, if I'm not mistaken, it's extremely rare to combine the next term with the first two terms, Yoyeshev HaKruvim. But perhaps, and there's a lot of parallelism in we had before, that what was this day? It was there were three events on this day. It was a Yom Toichacha, and the Atza, and Tzara. Three things. Tzara, Toichacha, and the Atza. Perhaps three Shemos, they correspond to the three different elements of the definition of the Yom Tzara. And there are many times in Klal Yisrael we have problems. We have problems with this nation, then there are problems among ourselves. There's all these different times when there's a Yom Tzara, and a Sara. You have to define the essence of the day. And then when you finally define the essence of the day, you can deal with it, you can be responsible with a certain bakasha. This day was defined with three terms. And here in the tefillah, we're being mevakeh from a Kadosh Baruch Hu with three different shemos. Hashem Tzivakos, Elokei Yisrael, Yoshev HaKruvim, Atahu Elokim Levadcha. You are alone. You are the only one. L'chol Mamluchos Aretz. This fool, Rav Shake and Asher, they think, oh, you're just one of many. There are many gods. There's a Hamas. And there is a Sefer Vayim, and there's an Eden, and a Retzef Nachar, and everyone has a god, and you're just one of many gods. Nonsense! Levadcha. You are all alone. L'chol mamluchos aretz. Ato asisa shemayim v'yas aretz. Hatei Hashem el oznecha. Bend your ear, u'shama, and listen. You have this davening in Burach, Monday, Thursday. Pekach Hashem elokecha u'rei. Open up your eyes and see. And this could be where it comes from. You have in the Sefer Daniel also some very, very similar expressions in Sefer Daniel. Most of Hurachim, a good chunk of it comes from Sefer Daniel. I don't remember. It could be there's some overlap. There's some similar expressions, but obviously you see here the Nusach that we are very familiar with. Open up your eyes and see. Ace called the Rei Sancheriv, Asher Shalach L'Choreif Elokim Choy, who has come to blasphemize the living God. And so, Omnam, it's true, Hashem. Omnam means Be'emes. It's true, Hashem. Hechrivu Malchi Asher Eskol Harotzos V'yas Aretzom. He has destroyed Asher, all the Aretzos, the lands, and Aretzom, and their land. Aretzos, the Rashi and the Mitzvot explain, Aretzos and Aretzom means the surrounding lands. And Aretza means their own land. I mean, it means like the capital and the suburbs. Two different expressions of two different types of regions of the land. It's true. And it's true that Asher has taken their gods and burnt them in fire. Do you know why? Because they're not real gods. They're not real gods. They're just the handiwork of man. Eats for even wood and stone via Abdum, and therefore that's why he had the power to destroy them. But the Atashim Lokenu Hashinu Yado, save us from his hands. The Yedu, and you'll save us. We will call Mamluchos Aretz. All of the kings of the world will know. Ki Ata Hashem Levadecha, that you are all alone. You are alone. There is no God in the world other than you. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so that is the conclusion of the prayer of Yeshayahu himself. So it's interesting of Chizkiyahu. So it's very interesting is that we have here in this parak a tefillah of Yeshaya and a tefillah of Chizkiyah. Two different prayers. First, there was a tefillah Chizkiyahu. It's a very derech eretz, very beautiful lingud musar here, where Chizkiyahu, when there's an Esara, he's first mechaved Yeshaya, v'nasasa tefillah b'yan hasheris haplata hanishara hanimtsa b'yan hasheris hanimtsa. He was first mechaved Yeshaya to be mispalel for Klal Yisrael. Then, afterwards, the second round, he on his own offers a prayer on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He didn't chap. Ah, I'm getting a mistal, forget about Yeshaya. He knew protocol. Protocol is the Navi comes first. You have to show deference and kavod to the Navi. The Navi's koyach is greater than the koyach of the melech in the spiritual matters. Okay, we will stop here.